Welcome, Eagles fans, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. It's Mock Draft Monday right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Gino, we are in the month of April, my friend. What, we got a couple weeks to go, and then the NFL draft. It's going to be different, though, because the NFL announced today that it's going to be all virtual, right? Because general managers, front office members, they can't all be together. So it's going to be a new, different draft setup. But nonetheless, in 3 weeks, we're going to have some new Eagles players to talk about that we've been speculating who that will be for the past couple months. And we're finally going to get some results very soon.
I've said this a couple times now in the past couple days that this is going to be the ultimate Howie draft. I mean, at any point, he can just click hang up on his phone and just it could be him making a selection and nobody else would know who it is. But we know that's not how it's going to go. But in reality, I think that the Eagles scouting staff is well prepared for this. They've definitely done their work. It's going to be different, but I think that gap you're going to see between the good teams and the bad teams is going to make itself even more evident in this coming draft. But it's going to be cool. I hope that we don't have any insiders tweeting out the picks beforehand. Hopefully it's under lock and key.
I know. No tipping the picks, man. That was something growing up I could not stand. And when like ESPN or NFL Network, they would show the camera in the green room and it would tip that way too. None of that.
100%. I'm on board with that. We're not going to see anybody besides whatever they set up in their Zoom party and so on and so forth. It kind of stinks for those draftees, but I'm excited. Honestly, this is like, I think, your and I's dream, really. Like, none of the flashiness around it. It's just going to be the draft, and we're really going to get to see what teams know what they're doing. And hopefully we don't have to hear about any, like, big mouths, big-time sports commentators that have some terrible take on a draft prospect that we're going to have to think a couple years down the road about, i.e. Mel Kiper. I don't like listening to Kiper at all, but that's beside the point. But I think this is going to be a fun one, man. I'm so excited. I honestly, we're halfway through our Eagles Twitter mock just about, and it's just making me more and more excited seeing different people's perspectives and getting different insights. And at the end of the day, trusting your own eyes. And at this point, if you don't know who a player is, you're probably not going to know who they are come 100%. 3 weeks from now.
Yeah, so that's going to be fun when we post that Locked On Eagles. Eagles Media Mock Draft, that was fun collaborating with a lot of the guys from the Philadelphia Sports Network and a lot of other Eagles podcasts. So keep an eye out for that. Follow us on Twitter at DiBiase LOE and at Gino_LOE. As for today, if you're new to the podcast, every Monday during the draft season, we do Mock Draft Monday, where me and Gino roll through a 7-round Eagles mock draft. And today we're going to spice it up. Me and Gino are going to try to trade up for one of these top three wide receivers in Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, or CeeDee Lamb, because that's really the only scenario that me and Gino have not really gone through, right, man? Because we've traded back, we've sat at 21, took every position you can think of, right? Edge rusher with Clavon Chaisson, cornerback with Christian Fulton and Trayvon Diggs. We took Jeremy Chinn, basically Isaiah Simmons light at safety last week at pick 21, so wide receiver as well. So this is the one scenario, not the one that we both totally agree with, but it's the one that we're gonna really keen in on today and see what we can do with a board with maybe some less draft picks. So that's what's coming up in segments 2 and 3. We'll go rounds 1 through 3 in segment 2, and then rounds 4 through 7 in segment 3. But before we get into that, today the NFL announced their all-decade team from 2010 until 2020. 4 Philadelphia Eagles were listed on that team. On offense and defense, Jason Peters, LeSean McCoy, Darren Sproles, and Fletcher Cox. Gino, your thoughts on this list being unveiled? I think the only one that I would say they really severely left out was Jason Kelce, I think. The fact that Alex Mack and Marquise Pouncey got picked ahead of him, I think is a mistake. But outside of that, I don't know. I thought the list was, I think they hit on the right 4 Eagles.
Continually, Kelce is just, he goes under the radar just because of his brother, I feel.
Yeah, maybe that is it, yeah.
I definitely think that has something to do with it, but I think they got the list right at the end of the day. I mean, Darren Sproles, I've said for the longest time, is going to be a Hall of Famer, and people want to keep arguing with me about that, and I don't think there's any argument to that debate in regards to his all-purpose yards, his ability to do it on special teams, which is a major portion of the game. There are kickers and punters and specialists in the Hall of Fame for a reason, and I think Sproles has for all intents and purposes, a chance to get in under that regard.
Well, Jason, in a story Peters alone, too, right? I mean, Sproles is an incredible story. In the Hall of Fame, the committee loves having guys with unique stories in as well.
Definitely. Jason Peters, another guy with a great story, but his play really said everything. It goes from tight end to being one of the premier left tackles in football, still left unsigned, shockingly, that he's in free agency and nobody wants a 38-year-old left tackle. It's kind of funny how that works out. But he did everything you could do and ask for as a left tackle. There's a reason that they've only had two in the last two decades with Trey Thomas and Jason Peters, and hopefully now Andre Dillard for most of the 2020s. LeSean McCoy, man, how many times did you watch that guy and you just knew that it was probably the best running back you were going to see in a Philadelphia Eagles uniform for quite some time? And then same with Fletcher Cox, man. We didn't get the luxury of being around when Reggie White was here. I got to say, Fletcher Cox is probably the closest thing we're going to get to seeing it for, unless they get Yannick Ngakoue somehow, but that's for another day.
Yeah, absolutely. And McCoy, from 2011 to 2016 with the Eagles and Bills, man, there weren't that many running backs that were better than him in football. And Jason Peters as well, first ballot Hall of Famer. But yeah, I would say the only guys that they left out, I think Jason Kelce. They didn't do any right tackles. If they did, I think Lane Johnson from 2013 to 2020 should be heavily considered. I think he's been the best right tackle in football for a long time. The only other thing I can think maybe is reasonable to argue is Zach Ertz versus Travis Kelce, but even that, I'm not super upset that they went with Travis Kelce.
No, not at all. Ertz, he's a Super Bowl champion, another guy that kind of just like, I feel like people take him for advantage of him, you know, like they just,
because maybe
him
not
for
as
granted.
Flashy, right? I think that's, yeah, I think that's the reason maybe Kelce's such, because, you know, he's more of the receiver type, run after the catch explosiveness, mm-hmm. and people like that better.
Yeah, they're not so much dead set on the Tony Gonzalez's of the world anymore that are what Zach Ertz is, you know. They're more like these hybrid tight ends that you have to be able to have 18 yards of reception, which is crazy, but I mean, that's what teams are going for nowadays. Yeah, I think you're pretty much nailed it on the head. I think Brandon Brooks should have an argument for being one of the best right guards in football for the last how many years. Besides that, I think it's a pretty good list. Brandon Graham, I don't think, just because statistically he won't fit in there, but Eagles versus Nationals, a completely different thing. But with the four guys they chose, I think they got it right on the head.
Yeah, 100%. It's cool to see four Eagles there on that all-decade team the NFL announced today. Coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, it is Mock Draft Monday, so me and Gino are going to dive into another one of our seven-round Eagles mock drafts, and we're going to get a little bit aggressive here. Me and Gino, most of the time, we're responsible with this, with these mock drafts. We know the board, value, trading back, picking the right players at 21, at pick 53 in the third and fourth round. But today, the one scenario we have not really done and have not considered is, what if Howie Roseman is really eyeing one of those two Alabama wide receivers or CeeDee Lamb from Oklahoma? We're going to get into what a trade-up could look like and then what we could do with a board with less picks coming up next right here on Mock Draft Monday. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into Mock Draft Monday right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. So, Gino, as I teased at the end of segment one, the only scenario we really have not done yet in these mock drafts is move up in round one. And look, I'm with you on this one. Wide receiver, the class is super deep. I would not make a move up, because I am fine at 21 or moving down at, let's say, we move back at 34 for Laviska Shenault. I like Brandon Ayuk, KJ Hamler, Jalen Reagor. So I'm okay with sitting back, keeping picks, if not adding more, and taking one of those receivers. However, let's say, because I think it is very possible that Howie Roseman wants one of those top elite prospects to give Carson Wentz for a long time. Henry Ruggs, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, they're likely going to have to move up into the top 15 if they want to do that. And the team that I'm looking at right now that we could target a move up here is the San Francisco 49ers at pick 13, because they do have two first-round draft picks at pick 13 and at pick 31. They've been rumored to be looking at moving back and collecting more picks. I could see them wanting one of those receivers as well, but if we're going to target somebody in the top 15, I think that's the one that we should consider.
Somebody had asked me today if we would consider a trade-up to get Clavon Chazon, and then I think Ben Solak of the Draft Network put out a trade up from 21 to 18 to get Jeff Gladney. And frankly, I don't think either of those are a possibility. And I think you and I saved the most unlikely possibility for last here on our mock draft Mondays, and that they're going to trade up. And for those exact reasons, you're already down 20% of your draft haul after shipping a 3 and a 5 away for Darius Slay. Are you going to be willing to give up 2 to 3 more picks, especially with how much that your scouting staff has put into this class, especially because there's going to be this huge market inefficiency between teams that did their work before this whole coronavirus outbreak and the teams that didn't do their work? And I think that's where Howie really makes his money. But you never know. Howie really is a wild card. You can never write.
He's open to everything, right? I mean, he's responsible with his aggressiveness, but. And he's talked a lot about quantity over quality.
It's calculated aggressiveness with Howie Roseman.
Yes, and he's talked about not quantity over quality. I shouldn't say that. He's talked about the benefit of having a lot of draft picks over the past couple years. But he is also, I think he doesn't just mean it's a good thing to have that quantity just to take players. I think he likes that optionality of, hey, if Darius Slay is on the open market and I can move a couple picks, like a third and a fifth. That's why he's so into compensatory draft picks, I think, is because he can make moves like that, aggressive moves, and not get totally boned, let's say, like the Los Angeles Rams, who have absolutely no draft ammunition. So I would say Howie, his philosophy is really, I think he's open to anything. He does value draft picks, and this Eagles team does need a deep draft class for sure. But I don't think it's likely, but I would not rule out at all how he's seeing those three. And I think there's a clear gap between Lamb, Ruggs, and Judy, and then the next guy, wide receiver 4. So while I don't think it's likely, I think it could be possible to make a move similar to, let's say, what the Pittsburgh Steelers did last year for linebacker Devin Bush. They moved up from 20 overall to 10. They gave up a second-round pick that year and a third the year later. So I don't know. I could see it. Let's say we offer San Fran a 3rd and a 5 this year and a 2 next year. I could see Howie Roseman considering that. You still have a 1st and a 2nd this year, 3 fourth-round draft picks. Again, I want all those picks, but Philadelphia still, despite giving up those 2 picks for Darius Slay, are in the position where a trade like this still would not completely milk them dry.
Yeah, if I had to go about it, I'd try like a 1 this year, maybe a 3. I really don't want to give up 53. And maybe a 2 next year.
If I were to give up a 2, I would hope it's like, because the Bush trade last year was, they gave up a 2nd in that class and a 3rd the next year. I would almost want to reverse that.
Yeah, and then you would kind of get like 2/3 as the value, because the next year, it's always a year later, around later, how they value the draft. But yeah, that's the thing. I mean, we're going to go through this simulation, of course, but to me, it's too rich for my blood, and the ability to trade up. Not only are you taking on a higher contract by moving up 11 spots, you're paying the luxury to move up. And if you just look at the history, I just got done reading The Drafting Stage by the guys at Over the Cap, and they made the best argument I've ever seen in a book. It was only 70 pages, not too long at all, a bunch of graphs for people like me that don't like a lot of words in their books. It broke it down to basically say that trading up does not work a lot of the time, because the trade-off that you see from moving up to where you would have stayed and been able to probably get a few more players. If you move down, you would absolutely get a few more players. And then what you're going to have to pay them on their next contract, it takes everything into account. And to move up 11 spots, not only are you giving up draft picks, but you're also giving up cap space. It's a tough precedent to set for Howie Roseman, because I think people would just kind of like know who he is after that. I don't know. I just feel like with the Carson Wentz thing, that was like, still nobody knows how Howie Roseman pulled that off. You know, like, that took a lot of different maneuvers. But if he's going to trade up, everybody in the world knows what he's trading up for.
He doesn't have a lot of leverage at all. But again, Howie's a guy that, he moved up for Carson Wentz. He moved up for, even in the 2nd round, Dallas Goedert in 2018. He moved up last year for Andre Dillard. So this is a general manager that does have a history of doing this. But at the same time, he also has a history of moving back. I mean, he moved back in 2018 as well in the 1st round. So that's why we want to consider all scenarios here, because the Eagles do not have a closed-minded general manager. And I think even whether you agree or not with a trade-up, I think that, Gino, is a really good thing, right? I mean, I think that's a testament of his top tier ability as a front office member. So let's do that though. Let's see. Let's say he wants that top tier, Ruggs, Judy, or Lamb, we're going to call up the San Francisco 49ers and offer them a 3 and a 5 this year and then a 2 next year. Which, but for the record, there's all this Yannick Ngakoue noise going around right now. I don't know about you, Gino. I would, let me ask you that, actually. Would you rather give up a future 2 for somebody like Yannick, or a future top 1 or 2 for someone like Ngakoue, or one of these top 3 receivers? I would maybe want one of these 3 instead.
Yeah, I mean, if you had to play the either or. But yeah, it's a good question to pose. It definitely is.
All right, so let's do this, though. Let's call up San Fran. I offer them a 3rd and a 5 this year and a 2 next year for the 13th overall draft pick, and hopefully to be able to pick from at least 2 of these 3 wide receivers. And they did accept it. All right, so we're on the board here, Gino, at 13. Let's run. Ooh, Henry Ruggs is off the board at 12 to the Las Vegas Raiders. So the guy that I think Philadelphia would take over anybody is off the board. So we have the choice of Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb. I don't know about you. I'm more in the CeeDee Lamb group here.
I hate to say it, but I am too. I think Jeudy kind of like, I love Jeudy though, man. Like,
no, I do too. I mean, his separate, like his route running is
highest level.
Yeah, it's
over
ridiculous.
And over and over again. But CeeDee, just like you see it. You really do. You see his playmaking ability. And Jeudy has some questions about like where you're going to deploy him. I'm not too into that whole ordeal. But to me, I've been on the CeeDee Lamb bandwagon for quite some time. I've loved CeeDee since he was there. I always favor players that aren't Alabama players. I'm not biased against Alabama, but I heard a good quote when I was talking to Chad Reuter on the plane when I was going down to Mobile, and he said a lot of the times, a lot of people, because of Alabama players, they scout the jersey or scout the school. You can't scout the school. You have to scout the player behind the jersey. And I don't think Jerry Jeudy falls into that at all, but it's like, where is his potential going to go? Like, is that as good as Jerry Judy's going to be? I always think like CeeDee Lamb, like there's something you can get with phenomenal quarterback play out of this kid.
Yeah, he's got the hands. Like some of the catches he made just scream DeAndre Hopkins, but I think he's a more explosive player than DeAndre Hopkins. So I love Jerry Jeudy. I think his separation ability is crazy good. You can line him up inside and outside. He's got good speed as well, but I think Lamb has a lot of those traits. I think there's just another level that Lamb can get to that I don't think Jerry Jeudy could. So I would have honestly taken Henry Ruggs of the 3, but Ruggs went as the first receiver off the board here, right in front of us to the Las Vegas Raiders. So let's take CeeDee Lamb at pick 13. You give Carson Wentz easily the most talented wide receiver he's ever had, and hopefully for a very long time you have CeeDee Lamb with Carson Wentz. And that's a pretty scary 1-2 punch, you know, at wide receiver next year with DeSean Jackson and CeeDee Lamb. So that's why the responsibility of not moving up, I get it, and it's what I believe as well in this class because of how deep wide receiver is. But look, man, it makes sense to see those 3 receivers and not salivate over the possibilities of what your offense could be next year.
Definitely agree. I you just have to sit on the double-edged sword of, are you okay having a 4-pick swing, essentially? Like,
sure,
trading back, you probably could add 2 picks, but moving up, you're getting rid of 2 picks, so it's something you got to eat with. And or we'll see what the ideology of Howie Roseman is come a couple weeks from now.
All right, so we took CeeDee Lamb at pick 13, and with that trade, we do not have a 3 this year or a 5. So now we have a second-round pick. We still have 3/4. So we've got some draft ammo still to work with, and we're up on the clock here at pick 53 in round 2. Gino, a lot of the guys we like, though, just went. The last 3 picks are players that me and you really like. Trayvon Diggs, the corner out of Alabama, goes to Chicago. Kyle Duggar, the safety out of Lenoir Ryan, goes to the rival Dallas Cowboys. And then Patrick Queen fell to 52 in the Los Angeles Rams. Scoop him up. 3 guys I would have really considered at this pick. So we're not going to go wide receiver, even though Hamler and Ayuk are on the board. I mean, that, although that is tempting. I mean,
see,
imagine
what I'm saying, like, why,
oh,
we should have traded back.
See, no, then this is, yeah, maybe this is proof that you don't, but at the same time, I'm not sure how realistic this is that Hamler and Ayuk are available at 53, but you know, it is, you know, a testament to how deep this class really is. So this is the time where you could go linebacker, you could go corner, safety, edge rusher, even interior offensive line. What are you thinking here, looking at the board?
I'm thinking safety and linebacker, just because I see two big names still, like in my safety and linebacker tiers, which we'll come out with our big boards probably in the next 2 weeks here. 20 wide receivers we're going to do, because I know everybody loves this wide receiver class, so we'll expand. But there was a report that came out saying that the Eagles are going to prioritize speed in this class, and I don't know if you're looking at the top of that safety board, Lou, but Ashton Davis is one of the fastest human beings.
Yep. Yeah, one of the best safeties in this class, of getting sideline to sideline. And Howie didn't just mention speed on offense. He even talked about, with that one-on-one with Dave Spadaro after free agency, he talked about just improving team speed and how that was even a priority in free agency with guys like Darius Slay and Will Parks. So, and even Jatavis Brown, one of the more explosive linebackers you can find. He's raw outside of that, but he has speed. So Ashton Davis, man, is somebody. You know, Rodney McLeod, Jalen Mills, even Will Parks, they do not have that explosiveness of when you're playing single high, he could get to either side of the field pretty quick.
100%. I mean, go look. I know I mention my Oregon Ducks on here all the time, but his interception against Oregon off of Justin Herbert this year, he just comes out of literally left field and steals this ball out of the receiver's hands. He doesn't even see it coming, but his pure athleticism, unfortunately, you didn't get to see him in Mobile or at the Combine, which I'm hoping makes him fall to 53, because if he tested, I mean, the guy's going to score out of a relative athletic score, probably above 9.5. Like, he's an unbelievable athlete. He's got world-class speed. It's just, can you put him in the right situation? They don't need a guy down in the box. They need somebody that can probe back there. Man, that's the right situation for me in Philadelphia right now, because you have Will Parks, who is that hybrid type. You have Jalen Mills, who's that hybrid type. You hope Jatavis Brown takes on a hybrid type role. You have Nickel Roby Coleman. You have all these guys that can go and cover. Now just let somebody go play center field. Like, that's the last element you're missing, in my opinion.
So Ashton Davis, probably our top choice here. The other guys I would consider, Willie Gay Jr., linebacker out of Mississippi State. Another one here that's ranked a little bit lower, but Matt Hennessy, interior offensive lineman out of Temple, local kid. The Eagles need offensive line depth this year and for the future as well, because you never know when Jason Kelsey's going to retire. Obviously, you have Brandon Brooks still in his prime and Lane Johnson, but you lost Big V, you lost Jason Peters, you're going to need depth. But, man, Ashton Davis here I think is just too good a value to pass up. And with Mills and Parks being on one-year deals and McLeod being on a two-year deal, this is like a long-term piece.
And for my sanity, just please give me one of the safeties I like in this class. Like,
finally,
I can't
you deserve
let it go
this,
another
man.
Year.
Not 2 years straight for you.
Yeah, please. Just give me one for my sanity. Somebody that can just go and probe back there.
All right, so we have a quicker segment two here on Mock Draft Monday because of the trade-up for CeeDee Lamb. So with our first two picks, the Eagles select CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver out of Oklahoma, and with our second-round pick at 53 overall, we went with Ashton Davis, the fast safety out of California. But because we traded a third to get Lamb, because they also traded a third to grab Darius Slay, we do not have a pick now until the fourth round, where we do have three, though. So that's what's coming up next right here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. It's Mock Draft Monday. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, welcome in, everybody, once again to Mock Draft Monday right here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast, part of the Lockdown Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase here with Gino Camilleri. To recap what we've done so far in our seventh mock draft here through draft season, we went with CeeDee Lamb. We moved up to 13th overall with the San Francisco 49ers. We gave them a third and a five this year and a second round draft pick next year. So with that, the Eagles are not going to have as many picks because they also traded for Darius Slay, giving up a third round pick in that trade as well. So second round, though, we still got a long-term piece at safety, Ashton Davis, one of the fastest defensive players in this class, Gino. So overall, you know, it stinks we didn't have a third-round pick. They had two at one point this offseason, but I think it's hard to do much better with those first two picks here in this scenario.
Without a doubt, you get your wide receiver one of the future, and you also have a safety that, to me, is top three needs on this team right now. Like, I could have went with Matt Hennessy and had your center of the future, but you really need a safety, man. You do not know what's going to happen there. Like, at least they are training Nate Herbig to snap the football and they have Isaac Seumalo, worst case scenario, you're one Rodney McLeod injury away from this entire season just going on the rails again. We saw it 2 years ago. We don't need to have that happen here in 2020.
Well, that's the thing is I like Mills and I like the fit for what he's going to be doing as a safety in the box. And I like Will Parks and his potential. And he's shown great things when he in sub packages in Denver on defense, but neither have been a starting safety on a defense ever. So I like what they have, but you're right, man. If McLeod goes down, there's a lot of question marks there. And not just this year. Even if those three guys stay healthy, two of them are on one-year deals, as I said in segment two, and one is on a two-year deal. So Ashton Davis is a piece that you're going to need long-term, and I really like that pick at 53 overall. So, again, we don't have a third-round pick. We're finally up on the clock here in the fourth round at pick 127. We've got a safety. We've got our wide receiver of the future. What are you thinking here? Maybe corner, although I don't love the group right now that's available. We could consider interior offensive line. But, I mean, Solomon Kidney maybe out of Georgia I like. It's kind of a drop-off, though, from the offensive line position after round three. Edge rusher, our boy Alton Robinson is
available. He's always there.
I think we've taken him every single mock draft.
He's the perfect like fourth round candidate for them, and they love picking guys in the fourth round. Like that's where they pick. Josh Sweat, Sharif Miller. If we're talking tendencies, that's a Howie Roseman draft tendency right. To a T.
Yeah, this isn't us just forcing a pick on a player we like. This is a guy that I think the Eagles philosophically like as a pass rusher. The kind of player they like, it's the range they like to take them, as you said, and not just Sweat in the fourth round and Sharif Miller. They also traded a fourth round pick for a pass rusher in Jannard Avery last year. So I think this is very realistic. If it's up to me, I'm going either Alton Robinson or you got one of the last couple good interior offensive linemen here until it drops off with Shane Lemieux of Oregon and Solomon Kinley out of Georgia.
Yeah, I like Lemieux a lot. Obviously, he's a duck, but to me, you need help at edge rusher. I really think they like what they have in Matt Pryor for the long term. Seumalo, he's still got a couple years on his deal. Brandon Brooks, you know what you got to do. But Alton Robinson is a guy that you don't know if you're going to pay Derek Barnett next year. You don't know the long-term future of Josh Sweat if he's going to continually stay healthy and make another leap.
Yep.
Yeah, BG's up there in age, and then Sharif Miller's just right now a practice squad guy, in my opinion.
Yeah, no idea.
Until we see something, keep taking edge rushers. Keep taking good quarterbacks. Keep taking linemen, and especially keep taking edge rushers.
100% in Philadelphia. Philosophically, they're going to build from the trenches. They're going to build the offensive line. They're going to build the defensive line and, of course, have their star quarterback. So let's do it. We're going to take Alton Robinson once again. Continued the tradition of Mock Draft Monday where Syracuse defensive end Alton Robinson is on the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, I think so. But all right, so that's the thing here, though, Gino. We still have two more picks here in the fourth round. We got 145 and pick 146. Right now, interior offensive line, I am worried about that offensive line depth. We got Ben Bredesen from Michigan available, John Simpson from Clemson. That might be the route I take, but also they can still double dip here at wide receiver. Tyler Johnson from Minnesota available, Devin Duvernay. Because you got CeeDee Lamb, who lined up a lot inside of Oklahoma, though, he's your future outside number one wide receiver. Because you took a guy like that rather than a Hamler or a Justin Jefferson, you can go for a slot-dependent player like Devin Duvernay and fit in this offense.
Real quick, I'm going to say no, but Antonio Gibson is not on the board, right? Like, I'd be crazy to think. For running backs, he's not there,
no,
right?
He's
long
gone.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to make sure. Because he's going to get drafted.
Those Memphis running backs slash receivers, man, they go early.
They really do. He's another guy that I think is going to get drafted high, but I like the idea of here maybe dipping into the quarterback market. I know they like to do that around the fifth round. It's just something that they've done from time to time. I mean, you got a couple guys, Anthony Gordon, I like. James Morgan apparently has been getting a lot of interest from the Patriots for some reason or another. But
Clayton Thorson last year, man, just scared me from this, though, because
I know.
You look at a Darius Slayton that goes right after, and I'm like, man, that just...
Totally agree. But I'm there with the Duvernay pick with you. I think he fits that slot role, and you can really let JJ focus on the outside. You can let Deshaun really swap in and out with Duvernay if you want to get fresh legs there. You'll have CeeDee on the opposite side. I think that's a good pick. I like that there. And then you got another pick right after this if you go Duvernay to do whatever the heck you want.
I love it because it's sticking with the theme of explosiveness here on offense. And if you have a trio of – and two with JJ, this doesn't replace JJ Arcega-Whiteside because Deshaun Jackson, we got to remember, is 34 years old. So you're going to – you know, even if you don't go rounds one and round two, you're going to need to take more wide receivers even if Arcega-Whiteside becomes a dependable starter. Because Deshaun Jackson's 34 and Alshon Jeffrey, I don't think is going to be part of the plans next year. And, you know, you don't know what else you have long term at wide receiver. So I think Devin Duvernay is a guy that would fit. Doug Peterson could use him very similar to how he used Nelson Aguilar. A little stiff as a route runner inside, which is strange for how athletic he is. But that straight line speed in round four, I think, is really good value. I mean, that's a track star.
You want to attack vertical? You put Devin Duvernay in the slot. That's really all you have to do. Like, you talk about his stiffness all you want. He'll get the ball. He's got good hands. He's quick. Just put him in the slot, man.
Don't ask him to be wide receiver one, but like Nelson Aguilar in 2017, if you use him the right way and he's not, you know, having the severe case of drops and the inability to track the ball that Aguilar that happened to, you know, down the stretch. But Duvernay, I think, actually tracks the football really well, and he can go up and get the football too and high point it. You know, I thought in the red zone he was pretty impressive at Texas. He has an aggressive play style as well, so I like that fit with Lamb, Deshaun, and Arcega-Whiteside. And we got another pick right here at 146 overall. What are you thinking? Interior offensive line, I feel like linebacker are the two biggest needs right now on the board.
I think cornerback is definitely a possible situation. I like the idea of Harrison Hand. I'm a big fan of his. He's definitely a ball hawk, but he isn't the fastest guy in the world, which kind of scares me, and we're kind of sticking with the idea of speed here. But, yeah, I like the idea of Ben Bredesen or John Simpson. You mentioned both of their names. I think they're in that last, like, top tier. I think Bredesen, he has that ability to come in and be a swing guard if you need him to be. And same with John Simpson. They both played in big conferences, big-time football. I think they're in the development of offensive line business, and it's good business to keep drafting good offensive linemen, and especially that come from good schools with good polished training programs. So count me in on Bredesen or Simpson, and I will not get mad at taking more offensive linemen.
No, me too, and I really like Matt Pryor, but even Matt Pryor as your top depth on the offensive line is pretty concerning because he finally got some in-game experience last year, and it was only for a couple games. So that being your top backup right now is a little bit of a concern. But your offensive line right now is one of the best in football, but that depth, you're going to need to add to that. So let's go with Ben Bredesen, the higher pick here out of Michigan. Build that depth up front. The Eagles continue to invest on the inside, on the interior of the offensive line, and with the defensive line, as well with Javon Hargrave in free agency, and now we grab another edge rusher in Alton Robinson out of Syracuse in this mock draft. So, Gino, we don't have another pick for a long time. Your overall thoughts of what we got right now? CeeDee Lamb, Ashton Davis, Alton Robinson, Devin Duvernay, and Ben Bredesen for a draft class where we lost a lot of picks. I think this you could do a lot worse.
You can ideally say that the last couple of years, the Eagles haven't had as many picks as they wanted to, but if you look at it, they addressed the positions of need, which they really had to go after, especially in back-to-back drafts with just five picks. They really went at positions and have only missed on maybe the Clayton Thorson pick so far in the last two classes here, but yeah, now it's another time you're picking five or six guys. You got to hit on positions of need. You do that with Lamb. You do that with Davis. You do that with Robinson. You do it with Duvernay, and you do it with Bredesen. And now we're here sitting with one more pick, and I'm ideally looking maybe a running back you can add into this rotation, a linebacker that brings you some speed, maybe a cornerback that adds some speed to your defense. I mean, the linebacker hall is basically picked clean.
Yeah, man.
Do have
right
my
now.
Boy Dane Jackson sitting there with his 4.57
40. And he's a player that can compete with Maddox and Sidney Jones. And I think corner right now would be a good idea because linebacker Geno is not looking good.
It's just pick thin, man. Yeah, Kamal Martin, he's athletic, but he's got a bunch of injuries. I'm a fan of Francis Bernard. Not really what they need at this point in time, though. But to me, cornerback, it is a, I'd say, under the radar deep group this year. I really do like a lot of these guys. I mean, right here, you're sitting here with Lamar Jackson, Neville Clark, Dane Jackson, Reggie Robinson, A.J. Hill, LeVert Hill, Levante Taylor. There's guys that are going to be in camps getting the ability to play for a roster spot next year. And Dane Jackson, he's too good and pressed to not be on a roster. He doesn't have the most straight line speed, but 4.57 is more than okay.
And with Rasul Douglas likely getting traded, you're going to need that sixth cornerback on some depth here in the secondary. So let's do Dane Jackson out of Pittsburgh, a favorite of mine and yours in this cornerback class. So overall, man, I know it's not the ideal scenario, but if you can get CeeDee Lamb and still have this kind of haul, I'm not going to come away, you know, with sour grapes.
I got to give it to you. I'm not as mad as I thought I was going to be after this mock draft, but just for the record, I do not think that this is the route they're going to take. If we're going on tendencies, Howie Roseman has a tendency to trade back and likes to accumulate picks, but does a trade back preclude them from a trade back and then trade up, which is another scenario which we never really went at, where maybe they do something where they move back to 30 and then they see a guy at 28 they want to move up for. So you get two picks to move back and then you give one pick up to go ahead a couple spots. Could be something. Who knows with Howie Roseman.
Yeah.
But the good thing is he's very calculated in his risk and he always has a plan before he goes about doing so.
And even if he were to make a trade up like this, you can always trade back from 53, you know, accumulate more picks that way. So, again, the Eagles have a general manager that is open to everything, and that's why right here on Mock Draft Monday, we wanted to go through all of the scenarios for you guys to really prepare yourselves. Because, again, you don't know. I mean, this is a guy that's traded back. This is a guy that's traded up. He has stayed put. So you really have no idea what his plan is. Again, my theory on this trade-up is I get it because of how good CeeDee Lamb is, how good Henry Ruggs is, how good Jerry Jeudy is, wanting that security of knowing that that guy's probably going to be a star. And I say probably because, you know, the Bills did this with Sammy Watkins in a really deep class, and it didn't work out. But I think there is a clear gap between the top three and the remaining. However, for me, I love that second tier, so that's why I don't want to move up. But I wouldn't say don't do this because of what you can get in round 3 and 4 and 5. Like, don't not move up because you can get Tyler Johnson or Devin Duvernay in round 3 or round 4. To me, it's more so because that second tier is really, really good. If that was a weaker tier where it was really just Justin Jefferson and then a huge drop off, then I would be all in on this move up. But because you can collect picks and still get an Ayuk or a Chenault or a Hamler, that's, to me, the ideal scenario. But this, I mean, if you can come away with CeeDee Lamb, Ashton Davis, Alton Robinson, Devon Duvernay, Ben Bredesen, and Dane Jackson, I'm pretty happy with that class. So I think we did a good job here.
Don't forget about how good this UDFA pool is going to be, man, with all these guys with injury concerns that they weren't able to have their medicals checked, with the lack of pure measurements that are not estimations that they don't have in their systems. It's going to be a lot of teams taking chances on guys that maybe wouldn't have had a chance in prior years because they would have checked out, and the other way around, guys that maybe would have been taken a little higher are going to fall. And you're going to see what teams really did their homework in this draft and what teams didn't. And frankly, I still hold the Eagles in high regard in the NFL in regards to their front office. And I always say, I trust Howie until he gives me a reason not to. I'm going to continue to trust him. And hopefully he walks away with a hell of a draft class, because this is the one, Lou. Like, last year was good, but, like, I feel like this is the class. Like, yeah, a lot is riding on this class.
I'm with you 100%. That's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, another edition of Mock Draft Monday right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Make sure you subscribe to the show on any podcast platform, because we're posting 4 to 6 shows a week, or always on LockedOnEagles.com. I post all the shows there as well. And me and Gino are always talking birds on Twitter after the show, at DiBiase, L-O-E, and at Gino _ Loe. For Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds!